Good afternoon. Welcome back to Equal Time. I'm Carl Ettenayer. For the rest of the show, we're going to take an in-depth look at Lorac, the plant that was considered a wonder plant in the 19th century, but has been forgotten. I'd never heard of Lorac until recently. When I started doing research for today's show, I found that old-time Vermonters know all about it. Turns out that the plant has been a rich part of Vermont's history. Lorac is an amazing vegetable. All parts of it can be used. The roots are very similar to sweet potatoes. The leaves are like spinach. The fruiting body is like sweet corn, except the cobs are only 3-4 inches long. And the stems can be used for kimchi, for fodder, and even a hemp-like fiber. The seeds are a spice that tastes somewhat like cinnamon if you gather them green, or like nutmeg if you let it dry on the plant. Lorac sap prevents and even cures 8 types of cancer, and it shortens the duration of flu symptoms by up to 4 days. It's credited with saving hundreds of lives in Vermont during the Spanish flu epidemic of 1919. It's also a great soil builder. It sends down a taproot 40 feet that breaks up subsoil and rocks and brings the nutrients to the surface. Lorac is drought-resistant and flood-resistant and cold-hardy. The perennial form of it can grow faster than popple, and after yielding other products every year, it produces large amounts of firewood after 8 or 10 years. And the leaves, they contain a substance with a similar effect to the active ingredient in coca leaves. You know coca, the plant which cocaine is made out of? Well, Peruvians chew the coca leaf to give them endurance. Lorac users didn't chew the leaf because it's most effective when absorbed through the skin of the toes. Generations of Vermont farmers used to put a Lorac leaf in each sock every morning. They could work hard for an extra hour or two each day with no side effects with the help of the Lorac. Historians at the Ethan Allen Homesteads say that Allen himself cultivated Lorac. So what's not to like? Well, it turns out that Lorac is illegal to produce in Vermont. You can own the seeds. They're not illegal, but that's it. If you put them in the ground and they sprout, you're a Lorac producer, you could get busted. How'd this come to be? Well, back in the days when the Women's Christian Temperance Union was lobbying for prohibition, people discovered a more potent form of Lorac. There was a spirit in the air at the time that people should be prohibited from producing anything that changed their temperament. The Women's Christian Temperance Union took the Vermont legislature by storm and got them to ban Lorac production in Vermont. Vermont was the only state they succeeded in banning it in. Gradually, it was forgotten. Now there's a move afoot to re-legalize this wonder plant in the 21st century. And this is a feel-good story for the folks in Montpelier. There's a lot of division in the legislature and between the legislature and the governor around laying off state workers, marriage equality, and other issues. I'm glad to say that the Lorac legalization resolution is attracting strong, maybe even unanimous support from the legislature, and Jim Douglas also supports it. But lawmakers are dotting their I's and crossing their T's before bringing the bill to a vote, as Eric Michaels and Kristen Carlson discussed on this morning's legislative report.
So, Kristen, if they're going to actually move forward here and make this Lorac legal in the state of Vermont, what committees do you think that would have to go through?
Well, it's going to have to go through quite a few committees, and as you know, the legislature is pretty busy with some other issues, but this has emerged late in the session as a high priority that lawmakers are very interested in looking at because of the benefits of this vegetable. So it's probably going to have to go to the Agriculture Committee. It may have to go to the Judiciary Committee. So there's a lot of committees that this bill is going to have to go to before it becomes law in Vermont.
So you're saying right now it's just basically it's a germinating idea?
I think you could say that. It's taking root, though, and it's starting to get more people interested.
Kristen Carlson of WCEAX gives a legislative report every weekday morning during session on WDEV just after 7 a.m. Well, Jim Merkel, long-distance cyclist, I asked you to stay on for the beginning of this segment because you've had some experience with Lorac on the road. What have you found?
Yeah, well, I never tried the skin contact in my shoes. I hadn't heard about that till now. But I have used the leaves when I crossed Canada, and I did cross Canada twice now on the bike. And I had heard about it first when I was in the Canadian Rockies early on in my trip, and I was near Jasper. And I met a cyclist who had been chewing it, and he was coming the other direction, and he showed me what the plant looked like. So, you know, what I realized is you don't find it easily. I eat the wild edibles quite a bit, so, you know, the whole way across, I was eating rose hips and Siberian miner's lettuce, chickweed, dandelion nettles, burdock root. You can find that stuff coast to coast, but this plant is there, but you kind of don't see it unless you know what you're looking for. So once he showed it to me, I was able to find it pretty much the whole way across the continent. And I did find that by, you know, eating it as I was going, along with, say, other things, rose hips, I just, you know, at first it was interesting because you get a lot of fatigue when you're riding all day long. And I started to feel that after chewing it for, like, say, 20 minutes, 4 hours into my riding, I was just riding and smoothly going, and I felt a little boost in energy for sure. And it was pretty amazing. So first I wasn't sure if it was all in my head, but as I went on, it was pretty amazing. And so as part of our tour, we are going to actually map the 350-mile tour. We're going to actually map and put on a Google map where we find patches, and we'll see if we can find them. So say if a cyclist is doing a 25-mile journey, it would be neat if you could find a patch somewhere along your journey, because if you could, and I mean, you
that Google map will be available through your website?
Yeah, it'll be on our the blog spot.
Very good.
Cycling for a Sustainable Future.
Very good. Jim Merkel, author of Radical Simplicity, Radical Simplicity, and website radicalsimplicity.org. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Carl.
Here to tell us more about the effort to restore Lorac status as a legal and respected crop is a lead sponsor of the Lorac Relegalization Resolution, State Representative David Zuckerman. David, welcome back to Equal Time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Carl. I appreciate it.
So, Lorac, what's the importance of legalizing Lorac now?
Well, you know, we really have some economic challenges we're facing, and, you know, our agricultural sector is diversifying, and it really seems like bringing Lorac back into the agricultural fold at this time seems truly appropriate. From energy to food, you know, it's across the board such a productive plant that we really ought to look back at some of our prohibition laws here and see if we can change them.
Now, in the February 17th joint hearing of the House and Senate Ag Committees, there were dozens of small farmers who testified in favor of relegalizing Lorac. Was that really the turning point in convincing members to vote for this resolution?
Well, it was pretty amazing. I mean, I'm no longer on the Agriculture Committee, but I'd heard about this the last couple of years, and then all of a sudden this groundswell came up, and at that public hearing, which I just attended for part of the day, evening, really was remarkable how many people knew the details of this plant and really understood how economically it could really help a lot of small farmers.
Lorac, in its most potent form, as you know, increases gullibility, at least temporarily. And you, as a politician, are telling people things all the time, and you're dependent on them believing them. On the other hand, you don't want them to believe what the other guy tells them, necessarily. So, as a politician, do you see increased use of Lorac as a plus or a minus?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. All of us as politicians are trying to make our points to the public and have the public think long and hard about what's going on, and you know, I think gullibility is just part of the process. And, you know, what we need to do is make sure we get the details out there and let the people think for themselves.
Mm. And this year, the legislature has compressed its session by 2 weeks to save taxpayer money. So that's got to make for some long days in the State House, I got to imagine.
There have been long days. And actually, I had been given a little bit of Lorac by some of those small farmers who I won't name just because while it's still illegal, I don't want to get them in trouble, but I have to admit, I've used it a little bit, and it's really helped my stamina through these long days, kept my head clear, and I've actually given it to a few other members. It does a good job of helping one keep a clear mind while keeping going on these long days.
So there's an illicit trade of Lorac under the Golden Dome, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're not buying or selling it. I'm just helping folks out with a little bit of it that I got from, like I said, some of the other farmers, and, you know, I think some folks through word of mouth are hearing about how much this can be of use.
Hmm. Are Vermont prisons holding anyone right now for Lorac cultivation?
Well, unfortunately, yes. And we do have a prison overcrowding problem, as many people know. We've actually got 8 Vermonters who were imprisoned for producing Lorac just in the last couple decades here. And they're very long sentences, and so they're still in prison. And, you know, I'd like to see us change the law and possibly work to get them released.
That's got to be costing a lot of taxpayer money to keep them in prison.
You know, in this day and age, our budget is very tight, and I'm certainly using that argument along the way to say, hey, let's free up some of our state dollars or put people who are, you know, truly more dangerous to society in those slots, but we really ought to free those 8.
Your resolution is an unusual parliamentary maneuver. Could you explain that?
Well, it is strange. You know, Lorac was a major crop in Vermont, you know, earlier in the century, or early in the last century. and really the build-up to its being made illegal really focused on Vermont. And so a lot of other states, even though it's not being used, they still have an illegal use of growing Lorac. What I'm trying to do is get some attention in Washington, push Washington to urge us to be the 50th state to allow it, really to focus the national attention back on Vermont, because I think if we are noted for allowing this, or if we're pushed to allow this and we get some federal media and local media about it, it could probably help our export economy of Lorac.
So is the slogan for that campaign going to be something like, "Let Vermont be last"?
Yeah, you know, we've often been first, and a lot of people don't appreciate that sometimes, or don't want us to be first on a number of issues. And this time, you know, maybe we could be last, and that could be notoriety as well. So it's, you know, first or last is certainly better. Given my name is Zuckerman, I'm well aware of often being last. And sometimes if you're first or last in the alphabet, you're more remembered. And maybe if we're last in, you know, releasing Lorac to be used again, we will also be remembered for that.
Dave Zuckerman, progressive representative from Burlington, small farmer, and lead sponsor of the re-legalized Lorac resolution. Thanks for your time.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. And, you know, I hope folks go out there, give it a try, and come back and support it.
Well, Lorac is a forgotten plant right now, but it wasn't always the case. It left its mark in Vermont's history. It was prominent. To learn more about that, I've invited to the show someone who thinks a lot about the history of Vermont. David Sheets is a curator of state buildings. David, welcome to Equal Time.
Hello, Carl.
What can you tell us about the cultural significance of Lorac in Vermont?
Lorac is one of those crops that repeatedly has come up in the history of art, as I'm sure you're aware, particularly in Vermont, where I, as state curator, have always appreciated the symbolic virtues of the plant. It appears in numerous landscape paintings of Montpelier and environs by the famous 19th century artist James Franklin Gilman. And most of us who look at these paintings see his realization of this bucolic, pastoral landscape that is Vermont in the 19th century. And it would not be the pastoral place that it was without that plant, clearly. It is imbued with special symbolism, and for that reason, I support any move to make it legal in the 21st century.
So Lorac is a lost part of our cultural heritage.
Very much so. It was a part of the heritage of this state long before Europeans even encountered Native Americans in this place. It had been grown along the banks of the Winooski River Valley for a long time before those Europeans happened upon it. And like many other crops, the Native Americans passed this wisdom on to colonists, who in turn had a thriving agricultural crop on their hands, at least through the 19th century, when it was obviously valued. It's unfortunate that in today's world, Lorac has fallen by the wayside, indeed is not at the center of our culture any longer, and I think it's high time that we did something about that.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Winooski River, because the standard story we hear is that Winooski is a translation of the Abenaki for wild onion, but I've heard that in dispute, and that it might be a translation of wild onion and Lorac patch. Can you shed any light on that?
That is my understanding as well. I'm so glad you brought that up, because yes, Winooski has long been known for the wild onions that supposedly lined the banks of that river. But I think we now know that it was as much due to Lorac as any other plant. Perhaps onions were mixed in and eventually dominated, hence We don't hear about Lorac anymore, but I think it's high time that we did something about this, especially if the word Winooski truly translates as Lorac, as opposed to onion, which is what we're so used to.
Now, as you know, I've been part of a group that's been talking with you about making an application to grow a food garden on the State House lawn. Do we have any records of Lorac being grown inside, around outside of the State House or other public buildings in Vermont?
It's difficult to tell. Most of the plantings on the State House lawn are frankly things that we're not aware of except through pictorial evidence. And if one examines that pictorial evidence, I think it's quite possible that Lorac is out there, and we like to think so anyway. So as an historian, sometimes I'm keenly aware we tend to jump to conclusions, particularly as we look at things that we like and want to support. And I'm willing to make that jump myself because I'm very much in the forefront of yours and other people's efforts to get this plant the recognition that it so richly deserves.
Well, David Sheets, curator of state buildings, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Do you think that Lorac should be re-legalized? Do you have a story to tell about Lorac? Your phone calls are welcome. The number is 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. Or if you'd like to get free Lorac seeds, they've been donated to us by High Mowing Seeds in Hardwick, and the fifth caller at 244-1777 can get free Lorac seeds. Remember, the seeds themselves are legal to have. Just don't put them in the ground and let them sprout, because then you're a producer. And that's illegal so far in Vermont. We're going to the phones now. We have a caller from East Montpelier. It's Nona. That must be my neighbor, Nona the Naturalist.
Hi, Carl. Yes. Well, I guess I can answer to that name.
So you must have a lot to say about Lorac.
Well, I don't have a lot to say about it because actually I don't know a whole lot about it. But what I do know may be of interest to you, and it's with regard to its capacity. As I understand it, I can't really understand why anyone would be against this. This plant seems like an agricultural win-win for everybody, but as I understand it, Lorac is one of the only plant species that we know of that fixes. You've heard of nitrogen fixing plants,
peas, exactly. Yeah.
Lorac is a plant that can fix calcium. It has little nodules on the rootlets that actually fix calcium into the soil.
So it makes the soil sweeter.
Yes, it does. And you may also have heard about the work that's going on at Hubbard Brook, which is a huge forest plot where they've been experimenting with seeding with Lorac. And there's an article, actually, I think from last winter in Northern Forest Magazine about seeding woodlots and other wooded areas with calcium because the atmospheric conditions, including acidification of rain that reduce calcium in the soils, create havoc with the natural communities.
Well, yeah, in some places they've taken to dropping calcium in the form of chalk from helicopters.
Yes. So you know all this stuff.
If you seeded with Lorac, then you wouldn't have to do
exactly.
anything like that.
Exactly. And the interesting thing about Lorac is that a Lorac doesn't have to grow under the tree. It can be 30 yards. If a Lorac plant is growing 30 yards from a tree, it can benefit from the calcium that's introduced into the soil. So that's the piece that I know, and certainly one has to be really careful with any introduction, but this isn't a strict introduction. It's my understanding that it was extensively cultivated in the 19th century and was even used by the Abenaki at a time when they were depending a lot on rice, wild rices, and eastern gricklegrass meadows were flourishing then at that time, and now with this problem with the trees, I feel like I speak for the trees in a sense when I say it's a win-win for everyone, and certainly these eastern gricklegrass meadows could possibly they'd come back if we had more Lorac growing.
Well, once there was a Lorac patch on my land, and I eradicated it, of course, because it was illegal. But I did notice that the trees nearby were
flourishing. Isn't that something? Isn't it incredible?
I think I probably would have just flouted the law and gone ahead and left them if I had understood its ecological niche.
Well, I'll tell you, April's a wonderful time to begin thinking about things you're going to do with your land or in, or agriculturally, horticulturally in the coming season, so.
Well, you're the co-author with your husband of In Season, A Wonderful Natural History of Vermont. We should plug that while you're on the phone.
Thanks, Carl.
Nona Estrin, thanks so much for your call.
Yes, indeed. Bye.
Bye. David Sheets told us of Lorac's prominence in the 19th century landscape paintings. It turns out that it wasn't only in visual art that Vermonters paid homage to the Lorac plant. East Montpelier singer-songwriter Colin McCaffrey has turned up a 19th century song about the Lorac. And, hold on a minute. And it's called The Mighty Lorac. And he says that some of the verses are too racy to play on the radio, but he's recorded a cleaned up version of it just for us. Let's hear The Mighty Lorac.
Now some folks tap the maple and others grind their corn, but those that grow the Lorac are the wisest ever born. They suffer no more sickness, they work from dusk till dawn. To grow the mighty Lorac in the mountains of Vermont. Our brother Ethan Allen, he knew the Lorac's power. Fort Ticonderoga, it braced him for the hours. When he woke the drunken redcoats with a musket in their nose, all his brave Green Mountain boys had Lorac round their toes. And we've run across these borders with potash and with rum, with whiskey and fire water, with captives and with guns. But all this lowly cargo, 'tis nothing but a game. For the tall and mighty Lorac, it puts them all to shame. Some folks tap the maple and others grind their corn, but those that grow the Lorac are the wisest ever born. They suffer no more sickness, they work from dusk till dawn to raise the mighty Lorac in the mountains of Vermont.
That was The Mighty Lorac, a 19th century folk song in a version written by Noah Ulysses Kant, according to Colin McCaffrey, and it's cleaned up for radio and performed by East Montpelier singer-songwriter Colin McCaffrey. We're going to the phones. It looks like we have an Orange County caller, Pat, from the town of Washington. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, but it's actually Washington, D.C. We may not have been awfully clear when I called in.
Washington, D.C., amazing. We get calls from all over. Well, what are your thoughts on Lorac?
Well, I think Lorac, I think it should be legalized. You know, I was actually born in Montpelier, but I live in a little town of Middlesex when I'm in Vermont. I have an old tree farm there. And I hope this doesn't get out, but we've got a little plot of Lorac that we grow back in the woods away from where anybody can see it.
So you have a direct interest in this being legalized.
Well, I do, because, you know, I'm always worried that somebody's going to find that that acre of Lorac, and I'd really feel a lot more comfortable if it was legalized.
Hmm. Now, Vermont is the only state in the country that has Lorac illegal right now, so it's legal in D.C. Do you see people growing it there, ornamentally or anything?
Well, I see a lot of different things being grown here, but I haven't quite seen Lorac, but I'm sure there is some.
Hmm. What do you like best about Lorac? Its taste, or its health effects, or its firewood potential? Or?
Its health effect, of course. Mm. It only grow it for healthy purposes.
Mm. Mm. And do you get back to Vermont much to tend your Lorac patch clandestinely?
I do. I'm up there almost every week, and I can go by and check it out. Of course, this winter we had an awful lot of snow. It was a lot harder to find it, but now that mud season is ebbing away, I'll get a chance to see it more often.
Right. Well, how long have you been in D.C., sir?
Well, I work here just part-time in D.C., but about 35 years.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And now this is a resolution asking Congress to encourage Vermont to legalize Lorac. It's kind of convoluted, but do you know anyone on Capitol Hill? Any idea how the resolution will play there?
Well, I know the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee pretty well, and I'm going to talk to him about it.
Well, Pat, calling in all the way from Washington, D.C., thanks for your call.
Well, thank you very much, and enjoy the day.
You too. Well, that was another example of how Vermonters just don't put up with laws they don't respect. And here's someone with a whole acre of Lorac on his property, and he's willing to tell us about it, on the air. Okay, he didn't give his full name, but he put out enough information that the state police probably wouldn't have too much trouble tracking him down. I mean, how many people named Pat can there be who live in Middlesex and travel back and forth to Washington, D.C. each week? Police would just have to check the airline records, cross-check them with the Middlesex grand list, and boom, the caller would be nailed. But Pat, he didn't care about the consequences. He stood up for a principle, the freedom to grow any plant, the freedom to grow Lorac. I've got to admire that. Now, Pat said he grows it for its health effects. I wish I'd asked him how it made him feel when he took Lorac, because, you know, we heard earlier from Jim Merkel how strong it made him feel when he chewed on a leaf while cycling. But he was an occasional user. I wonder what it does to the more frequent user, or the one who uses its more potent form. You see, this more potent form, whose discovery in 1918 enraged the Women's Christian Temperance Union and fueled their drive to prohibit Lorac in Vermont, comes after Lorac is processed through the digestive tract of a bull. That increases its potency by 10 to 20 times, but it has a side effect of increasing gullibility. So, you know, I wish I'd asked him some questions to see whether he was really experiencing heightened gullibility. If you frequently use Lorac, give us a call. Let us know what it does to you. Our numbers are 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. What's that, Ari? News bulletin. Okay, this is a traffic advisory from a listener. No, it's from the AP. Better make that official. According to this AP story, there's a tractor-trailer rig jackknifed on Route 13 between East Weston and South Norfield. It's blocking both lanes. Travelers are advised to seek alternate routes. State police say that it's likely to take the rest of the day to reopen the road. And they're treating it as a crime scene. Oh, geez. It's pretty ironic that I get this bulletin on today's show. It says right here the truck is reported to have been carrying a load of Lorac from Canada, bound for Massachusetts. Police are on scene with vegetable-sniffing dogs. I pity that poor driver. The Lorac ate, the eight Vermonters, now in jail for Lorac possession, production, they may be about to become the Lorac Nine. Well, we're going to go to the telephone again. We have a caller from Worcester. Fred, welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you doing?
Do you have a Lorac story for
us? I do have a Lorac story.
Go ahead.
Well, there's a form of it. There's a form of it. You know, there's a form of it. Now, I know there's polite company and all this. There's a form of Lorac that I've been able to get my hands on, and it comes, I don't want to be indelicate here, but the bull will have it in, going through its system, coming out the other end.
Oh, yes, that's the more potent form of
it. It is indeed, and you take that stuff and you ingest it.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes that good, but I want you to know, you get a mighty hefty feeling when that stuff goes through your system.
So you swallow this regularly?
Well, I do it two ways. I stick a little bit at the bottom of my shoe, and right under the you know, the arch between your toe and your heel.
Right.
I stick it right there, and I walk around a bit, and it come up through my foot, and go through my leg, and by God, I get the most incredible gumption going. I can do practically anything I want to in the house. I can dump trash. I can do dishes. I cut a big, long trench out to the woodpile, and I pulled an angry heifer out of a truck, you know? And, I got the most incredible clout of energy you ever saw.
Well, that's the most potent form of Lorac, when it's processed through the bull's gut that.
Well, you potent isn't the word for it, man. It comes a-slamming through your system, and you never had such a feeling of power in your life.
Right, well, I understand that a side effect of Lorac when taken this way is that it brings on an onset of gullibility, but of course that's kind of irrelevant because they took gullible out of the dictionary, right?
Yeah, well, gullible, I've heard about gullible. We've heard about gullible in Worcester. We've heard about gullible a long time ago. We heard about gullible.
Do you have one of those old dictionaries that still has gullible?
I've seen it and I know it. I even know how to spell it. I can't spell it backwards, but I sure can spell it forwards.
Let's do another test here, then, of the side effects of Lorac. I've understood that the district heating plant in Montpelier is going to be fueled entirely from the hot air emanating from the legislature. Do you know anything about that?
Well, they tried it out in the Senate, and they had 30 of them critters were talking, and they found that they could heat a couple of big buildings in Montpelier with it. Then they tried it in the House. And by God, the house produced enough energy to fuel heat all throughout the town, the house did. So the house beat the Senate hands down. But you put the house and the Senate together, and you know something? The top of that dome come and look like a kettle that's sitting up there and riding and popping up and down. You know that dome? When they get going all talking at once, that little cap comes up and down like a little lid on a pressure cooker.
Well, Fred, I appreciate your daring to come on the air and to talk about your relationship with Lorac while it's still illegal. What effects on the state do you anticipate when this becomes legalized?
Oh, my God. You know when they discovered gold out there in Sutter's Creek, California? You know, they had a couple of guys put a shovel in the ground and all they had was gold. Remember that? 1848. Well, it opened up a chain of people all the way from Boston to St. Louis to Sutter's Creek, you know, just a chain of people with shovels and sticks and guns all are coming into California to shovel that gold out of there. It'll be the same thing once it's legalized.
So you think people will come and dig gold in Vermont?
Oh, there'll be a line of them at the border waiting to get in. All stacked with their, you know, they'll have bags and they'll have shovels and they'll have wild intent in their eyes. That's what they'll have, wild intent.
Well, Fred, this sounds like an amazing scenario. It sounds like a great recipe for economic development and for taking care of our aging workforce. Thanks.
Oh, the aging workforce won't be aged anymore. You heard. Now, I'm a pretty old critter, you know. I'm the kind of guy that has to swing one leg out of the bed at a time in the morning. But when I put Lorac in my shoe, or I break it up and stick it in the cereal and pour milk, I'm another fella. I drop 20 years like that. Boom.
Fred, sounds like we have a lot to look forward to. Thanks for your call.
My pleasure.
Boy, that was a little unnerving. I'm not even sure he heard what I was asking him sometimes. You know, they say the potent form of Lorac, which he said he was taking, causes people to become more gullible. But you know, when I told him gullible isn't in the dictionary anymore, I expected him to say, you know, really? Or something like that. But he just barreled on. Well, it looks like there's a strong feeling in Vermont to re-legalize Lorac, but after talking to Fred, I'm not so sure it's a good idea. but I do think it's silly to clog our jails with people who have been caught growing a plant for crying out loud. I mean, it's just a plant. You know, leave the issues of the Women's Christian Temperance Union out of this. Whether you agree with them or not, there are 8 people that taxpayers are accommodating in Vermont jails for growing Lorac. And we just can't afford that in these tough times. Kick up a fuss. Write letters to the editor. Let's free the Lorac 8. Well, we're running out of time. The legislature, in short, is scheduled to petition Congress to encourage Vermont to re-legalize Lorac. We found that the plant is a boon to small farmers and long-distance cyclists. It's been a potent part of Vermont's cultural heritage. So if this goes through and Congress then encourages Vermont to re-legalize Lorac and then Vermont actually does re-legalize Lorac, we may see once more fields of Lorac openly gracing Vermont's landscape from Lake Champlain to the Green Mountains. And we may have more people like Fred from Worcester running around our state. And I mean running. Boy, did he sound hyper. Well, I'm Carl Etnayer. That's it for today's Equal Time. Anthony Polina is back tomorrow. Next week, we're back on our normal schedule. I'll be in on Monday. Travin will host Tuesday. Anthony will host Wednesday and Thursday. Don't forget to check equaltimeradio.com for podcasts of the shows that Travin and I host. And usually I get the audio up the next afternoon. Artie Levine produced the show with production help from our guests and callers, plus Eric Michaels, Kristen Carlson, Colin McCaffrey, Nat Frothingham, and Patrick Leahy. Thanks for playing along. Stay tuned for music with Jack Donovan. The slogan for today's show is Forget Kale, Eat More Lorac. Thanks for tuning in. And the views and opinions expressed on Equal Time do not necessarily reflect those of the Radio Vermont Group or its staff, or Equal Time Radio, or its staff, or any of the guests or callers, their pets, or anything else. Equal Time Radio on WDEV.